What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Fans of Power Podcast, the only weekly dedicated podcast to He-Man and She-Ra and everything in between. And I'm Brian Ozone, along here with my guys, Tyler Baker and Joe Amato. What's up, guys? What's going on?
What's up? What's up?
I'm ready, willing, and able.
I like to hear that.
How about before we get to everything, I want to address something. It's something that always annoys me. It came up recently. I don't know if I've ever mentioned this on the podcast before, but if I did, I'm going to say it again. Recently, I had a conversation with somebody, and they were talking about, like, toy and cartoon and comic geeks, you know, and, okay, this guy likes sports. It makes me think of a conversation I had with my cousin since spring. I'm sorry. I'm going to bring this up because it annoys me.
I can't imagine where this is going. I was like, this guy likes sports.
Well, not like that. I didn't mean like that. Well, see, the thing is, I like sports too. But what I mean is, there's some that like sports. They're into it, like, dedicated. Just, they're really into it. And same thing can be for people with comics and toys. But this is what I want to get to. My cousin and his friend one time, I was over at my cousin's house, and he had one of his buddies over, and his buddy's really, really into football. And my cousin was asking me about how, you know, I'm doing with my stuff, blah, 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 whatever. And, right. Of course, you know how it is. A friend has to say, oh, so what you guys talking about? And I was talking about, you know, the stuff I do. He's like, oh, right. So you're like, you know, he was like, yeah, so you're kind of like one of those nerds or something that, you know, collects toys and, you know, you geek out with that stuff. And I was like, what do you mean, nerd or geek? He's like, well, you know how you guys collect the stuff and everything. You know, like almost being sarcastic because, you know, since he's sports, he's a tough guy. I mean, trust me, there's comic and toy guys that are just as tough and I'll whoop you. I'm sorry, I almost lost it. But okay, hold on. So I'm going to get back to that. So I was like, well, what's the difference? I was like, you're sitting there talking about, yeah, I collect action figures or toys. I was like, what about you? I said, you collect your sports action figures. I was like, you collect your footballs, your trophies, your whatever, trading cards.
T-shirts.
I was like, t-shirts, everything. I was like, what's the difference? He was like, but you guys have to memorize every single thing about their powers. I was like, okay. I said, and that's it. That's when I kept going. I didn't stop. I said, you seriously said us memorizing about powers and things? I was like, what do you guys do? I said, you sit there and you memorize all the stats, where the person comes from, what high school he went to, what college he went to, what team he's on right now, how many points per game. I was like, you do all that. I said, so that's the same. I said, then you guys talk about how geeks dress up like, you know, they're superheroes that they love. I was like, well, look at you. When you guys geek out at a football game and you have one half of your face red, one half of it white, you might have cheese on your head, you might have a big foam finger. I said, so you just dress up and you do the same thing too. I said, so what's the difference with that too? I said, you guys do the same thing. We both geek out.
The same. It's just a different.
It is.
Different topic, basically.
It is. It's a different topic, but it's the same thing. It's both a passion. We all geek out, but I know it is. It's this tough guy mentality. They think that because, you know, I like sports, it must be tougher. I hate hearing that because, trust me, there's people that are tough in every area of the world and weak in every area of the world. I said, but I'm gonna let you know what the difference is between the stuff we worship and our heroes compared to yours. I said, at least in theory, the basis and reality of, like, He-Man, Superman, Spider-Man, these are heroes that try to stand up for what's good, do what's right, try to protect the innocent, and do the good thing. I was like, your sports heroes, I said, which it's cool, I said, they're human. Meaning, what do we see in the news? We find out, oh, this guy just murdered somebody. This guy's a rapist. This guy's a child molester. This guy beats his wife. I was like, so while your heroes end up turning out usually to be somebody that will do something bad, our heroes at least usually are supposed to stay good. That's the thing. Superman, for the entire time he's around, you ain't going to hear about Superman beating Lois or raping her.
Until DC decides, you know what, this isn't working for us. We're going to reboot it and give everyone a brand new costume remant the entire run as if like it never happened.
Right. But you know what I mean? I mean, this is just the theory. And I'm not saying all sports heroes, of course, all people are not like that. But I'm just saying about how we're human. We age, we grow, at least in the comics and the cartoons or whatever, they don't. And they're supposed to still embody what's good. And my cousin, after hearing me rant, because he's seen I was starting to get real hot and lose it, almost like I am right now, even though I don't know why, he was like, Joe, you really do. He's like, man, you make a lot of sense. And in my cousin, he likes all the stuff too. I said, but his friend, after hearing that, just walked away in the other room and sat down and didn't even want to talk. Because I think he knew what I said was making sense.
Shut him up.
Yeah, so I just had to let that out because I heard it again just today. I mean, not today. It was just the other day. And I just had to say it again because it annoys me. I hate hearing it because I don't sit there and talk about people who watch sports like they're dorks or geeks or anybody. We're all the same. It's just like you're saying, Brian. All the same, a different passion.
Yeah, that's all it really is. I mean, I got friends that dumped thousands of dollars in their cars, tinted windows, stereo systems, whatever you want, you know. I collect toys. It's just what people like, you know. It's just everybody has like a different passion, like you said, and you know, so be it. You know, but you don't have to be negative towards somebody because he likes, you know, whatever, He-Man or Superman or the Yankees or what. You know, it's you know, it's stupid. People like what people like because people like it, and
yeah, and I think that's
what it is.
It is, and I think that's why you don't hear a lot of people who do like comics or action figures or cartoons talk about it, because maybe they're afraid somebody's going to say something to them or try to make them feel like
they're... Well, you always have that idiot that wants to put you down for liking something like that, you know?
Yeah, because
I don't
care.
It's just not for kids, you know? It could be an adult thing. It's just adult themed. Yeah. I mean, I don't...
There's nothing wrong
Look at us. The three of us do this every week. You know?
Exactly. Absolutely none. I mean, like, Tyler, have you ever heard anybody or any of your friends or people talk to you like that or talk about that? I mean, I'm just curious because I always like hearing what other people have to say about it too, any experiences they had.
As of now, like, I've gotten a lot of people that I work with that when I'm on my coke route, you know, I've opened up. And I started a lot of conversations with people who, I guess, almost feel like they were kind of hesitant to talk about the fact that they loved comic books or superheroes, along with having conversations with the guys who follow NBA basketball. And I'm like, and I'll have guys who come over and talk to me who want to talk basketball, and I'm in the middle of having a conversation about either action figures or, you know, that I disagree with how DC and Warner Bros. Are treating the DC films as of late or something like that. And I'm like, I'm not bothered or ashamed or feel like I have to kind of downplay it because I'm like, who cares? You know, I love movies. I love superheroes. And it's almost like in this day and age, too, you know, because of things like Big Bang Theory, like it's cool to walk around and say you like The Flash and Spider-Man, but don't actually read a comic book. You just say, I got this sweet shirt at Walmart with like the Flash saying, you know, I'm like so cool or something like that. You know, you know, but I almost felt like, you know, because I will say that when people get really, because I'm not a fan of football. I don't, you know, it's more or less about how people act when it comes to football. Same thing with like NASCAR and things like that. You know, I appreciate because I love NBA basketball. That is my sport. And I don't want to go around and start knocking people for liking football or basketball or college sports or whatever, because all of it gets embellished in a certain degree, and you feel like, oh man, this is ridiculous. Because there's people who can like toys, who like He-Man or like Star Wars or other 80s properties, and you feel like, man, people like you were giving us a bad name. You know, and I feel like the guy that got into a fight with Joe is like, that's the kind of guy that feels like that would probably give sports fans a bad name. You know, not understanding.
Well, it's like those are the type of people that are closed-minded and they completely don't understand what they're actually talking about. Like, it's like they already won the fight. You can't change their mind. They don't want to hear anything. It's already said and done, and that's it. And to me,
to just sit there and downplay somebody who likes toys or likes football or likes basketball or likes hockey?
I mean,
you know, neither one of you guys or Dirt or anybody else, this is like, I can't picture any of us just thinking, you know, you overhear a conversation with someone who loves college football. I'm going to go out of my way to say, oh, so you're one of those guys who attaches your ego to the winnings of a college sports team, that if they just win two more games, they can get a bowl game and feel like they've accomplished something, even though the bowl game doesn't really mean anything because it's not a national bowl game or something like that. You know, just...
Right.
It's not necessary. It's rude. It's obnoxious, and
it's just some people don't get it though.
I guarantee people like that too. They would probably like think it's cool to wear like a Superman shirt because Superman means tough, or Batman because you know
that's
he's
what
a real. Yeah, yeah, it's
no, that is what it is, because they want to be, they think it's a tough guy thing. So I'm just letting people out there know, if there's listeners out there like me, you know, if you like your action figures, you like your comics, you like your cartoons, whatever it is, be passionate about it. Who gives a crap what anybody thinks about it? Because, I mean, they're just closed-minded, they're being stupid, they're just thinking that one way and one thing is tough, or that's the good thing, and trust me, it's all a passion no matter what it is. And that's why I don't care what anybody thinks when there's something I like.
Hey, listen, if you're into it, you're into it. Whatever floats your boat makes you happy. You know, at the end of the day, you go to sleep and you wake up to yourself every day, you know.
That's right.
Whatever makes you whatever makes you happy in this life, that's what you need to do.
That's all it's about. It's all being happy. It should just be happy.
Somebody's got a problem with you collecting He-Man, Bionic Six, and Brave Star, and Silverhawks, and Thundercats, and classic G.I. Joe from the 80s. Just let me know, and I'll go pay that douchebag a visit.
That's right. We're going to send T-Rex after him. We're going to send 275 pounds of muscle after him. See, it's all the tough guy thing. It's the muscle thing. No.
I'm going to be like Thunderlips. I'm going to take him and have him break him like this.
Yeah, there you go. Thunderlips.
I'm the ultimate male. I'm going to go crush the ultimate meatball. That's what I'm going to go do.
That's right. That's terrible. But, all right, well, I just had a vent. That's my vent. Now, from my vent, I'm gonna let it go into T-Rex, and Brian, you guys can go at it, and I'll jump in too. I know recently there were some more talks about, you know, the rumors of the new Masters of the Universe movie and all that. So I'm just gonna go right into Tyler, because I know Tyler loves chewing and eating, you know, eating into that stuff first, and I know you do too, Brian.
I don't like eating; it makes me throw up.
Well, go ahead, eat, throw it up, do whatever you want, but go ahead, get into it of what kind of maybe was said. If you didn't know, I'm sure Brian does, but go on and hit it up about the new rumors on the movie.
I don't know. To me, there's not a whole lot really to dig into other than they finally talked to Mick G, you know, the diva director that he is, and just...
Wait, let everybody know that is what his main movies that everybody talks about. He directed both the Charlie's Angels.
His first thing, wasn't his first thing like the OC from Fox or something like that?
I don't even know what that is, but I'm going to mention at least movies at the theater.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's...
It probably was. I don't know why. I think that's those teeny bop dramas.
Let's just mention... The main movies that everybody wants to focus on that they say he's directed. The two Charlie's Angels movies and the fantastic Terminator Salvation. So these are the movies that he's directed that everybody's...
I didn't see any of them.
Okay, well, I'm sure you...
Well, I saw that abomination Terminator Salvation opening day, and I wanted to throw a brick through the screen.
That was a hot mess. I hated that movie. But just to get everybody...
He still thinks that he still made a good movie, so... For you people that are so excited to hear anything remotely close to progress with this movie getting further along with Sony, the people who gave us the new Ghostbusters film.
Oh, boy.
You know, you guys need to take a chill pill for a moment and realize that we're not going to be getting a quality movie that balances sword and sorcery with, you know, badass dudes with swords and muscles clashing swords on the jawbridge over the abyss of Castle Grayskull. No. We're not going to be getting lasers. Anything like
I gotta ask you real quick, Tyler. Did he say? Remember, you were just being sarcastic, quoting another so-called possible director from a couple years ago when that guy said something like, "Yeah, I had Stratos, or I had this figure. I like He-Man." Right. Was there a quote or something about McG recently where he said something like, "Yeah, I played with some of the He-Man"? Didn't he almost say the same thing you were like mocking last week, jokingly?
He went
as far as to say that. I mean, you know, look, I appreciate anybody acknowledging the 87 movie. He didn't pull a Sam Worthington and knock the original Clash of the Titans like that prick Sam Worthington did when he was in that abomination remake of Clash of the Titans. He at least I give credit where credit is due. You know, I don't like Mark Wahlberg, but he was good in The Departed. He sucks in everything else, so I give credit where credit is due. And at least McG did say he says the 87 movie was great. Langella and Dolph Lundgren were great as He-Man and Skeletor. But it's not enough. That is not enough. I mean, you might as well just sit there and say, well, I got the Fright Fighter for Christmas or something like that. Well, clearly, this man has what it takes to give us the He-Man movie we've all been waiting for the last 30 years. You know, it's the guy does not have the credentials. You know, and we've gotten to this argument when Mike O'Hearn was apparently linked to possibly being to play He-Man. People were ready to dismiss him. All right. Well, he does not have an acting career. He's done a little bit here and there. It's more, you know, it's I just feel like
the guy that they were rumoring, is it Kellan Lutz or what's the guy's name that they were?
Yeah, the guy that was in Twilight in the Expendables 3 movie. He was one of the reasons why Expendables 3 sucked so much.
Well, you he seemed like he wouldn't, like, I guess, paint that guy out of the picture of possibilities for He-Man, but
He said they had not cast him. You know, he says they met with him. He's a good guy. He appreciates the Prince Adam story and this and that. And I'm like, but at least you're saying, no, we have not cast him yet, which tells me, no.
Also,
we
did he make it seem like he was talking about if they were to cast for He-Man, they wanted a name actor for He-Man?
Well, they don't. He said they don't want a name.
They don't. Okay, just wanted to make sure I was hearing that right, because I know he said it for other characters, like Skeletor wouldn't matter, but He-Man, I almost was under the impression he said they did want a name, but if he said he didn't,
be better without
that's fine.
I do remember he said they didn't want a name. I mean, like I said, I glanced through it because it's all laughable. I just shook my head at it because there's another point in it. But he did say they just want a good actor to play Skeletor. You know, and they even mentioned makeup, which I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm cool with makeup for Skeletor here, but I have no faith. And, you know, if Steven Spielberg and other great directors are still delivering dud films even to this day, what chance does someone who directed Terminator Salvation and still thinks it's a pretty good movie is going to deliver a He-Man movie that's got balls, that's going to get us excited when we see the trailer in the theater? It's not going to happen. And I appreciate people being hopeful, but they're not looking at the fine print. There is no groundwork that has been laid by Sony, McGee, or any other previous director that shows this movie is actually making progress. And if it did, we're just going to be given
we're still at that speculation point, like we've been since
for 16 years.
Years now. I mean, it just comes down to that. I mean, and again, it's just It's. I wish there was something solid that we can actually have a real conversation about.
I will say this. I mean, I'm sure Sony is probably, because Ghostbusters has you know, was a flop. They've nixed any chances of sequels and spinoffs and cartoons and any other pieces of garbage they can throw out because it was such a dud. So I'm not sure how quickly they're going to fast track He-Man if Ghostbusters, which is one of their big names of the 80s, has flopped and cannot.
Right.
You know. Yeah, it's,
and it's sad because something like that can affect a title like He-Man, you know.
Well, and it probably should because I wanted that movie to fail because it was not because of the female thing. It was going to be a bad movie if they threw in four guys because of the kind of humor, the kind of direction they're going with it, and it just looked bad. And juvenile humor is not what's in Ghostbusters, and I almost feel like this is probably what Sony would do to He-Man to a certain extent. You know, they probably make unnecessary jokes and moments where I'm like, this doesn't require jokes or making fun of what the actors are doing on screen, running around in loincloths and clashing swords, and someone decides to come up with some sort of lame fart joke or a pot joke or something like that in the midst of all the fighting or something like that, you know?
Or Eternia, too, I don't know.
You know, and another thing, too, that I feel like, you know what, this is not a good way of saying that this is in the right hands. When directors today are constantly saying, oh, we want to make it more like Game of Thrones, we want to make it more like Guardians of the Galaxy, stop trying to compare a property that is its own entity and say, we want to make it more like that, because you can't do that, because it's not Guardians, it's not Game of Thrones.
Right, it's an established canon of its own creation.
They watched anything, read the many comics, the storybooks, everything, it is a serious property. It has had some bubblegum moments. I mean, if these guys have done any research, they know where it failed, they know where it succeeded, they know why it was popular, they know why it kind of faded away.
Just listen to our podcast, we can let you know. We'll tell you.
McGee, get a hold of us and we'll tell you how to fix your career.
That was well said, what you both said. I mean, you really made a point. You don't compare an established property to other properties.
Because and they do it all the time now. Anytime there's something that's in the mix of being made in pre-production, they all want to sit there in the studio and give me one of those. You know, we want what Marvel did. Well, Marvel is treating the properties with dignity, making it fun, but also giving the movies a lot of balls and seriousness when it comes down to it. DC, you know, Dirk, Doug, I mean, you know, and Brian, I'm gonna hold back on them because I know you guys like those films, but I just feel like they're causing a lot of controversy with fans because
they are. And not for nothing, I was just before we came on, I was on YouTube a lot, and they were trying to say now that they were trying to make the Suicide Squad like Guardians of the Galaxy, and there's three different versions of it.
This is supposed to be some of the harshest villains in the DC universe, and not supposed to be
exactly. Exactly, yeah. They're the bad guys. They should be treated like the bad guys. And Jared Leto, reading something about him too. He said it should have been an R-rated movie because it's about the worst of the worst villains in the DC universe. It's a bad guy movie. It's not for little kiddies. It's a bad guy movie. And I don't know.
Not to mention we can go and casting people the way they did and choosing to go in this direction instead of that. And I mean, we could talk for 3 hours as to why that was a mistake with what they did. But I just feel like with He-Man, there is no chance, people. It's just not going to happen. If they keep trying to remake this and get lazy and just say, well, we've got the name, we'll make money opening weekend because people say, hey, I remember that as a kid, like they did with the Turtles movies, those two god-awful Turtle movies. I remember when the first one came out, people were asking, did you see the new Turtles movie? No! And it was clearly people who just grew up with the toys. They don't collect the toys now. They don't watch the movies now or anything. Like, they're going on nostalgia. And it's just, I think that's the only reason that, and besides the kids who don't have anything else to compare it to, succeed. And I don't think the second one did that good, obviously. I just feel like Sony is, they're not doing a good job with, you know, presenting quality product. I mean, I like the two Andrew Garfield Spider-Man movies. The majority of people hate them. I understand why they do, but at least with those, Garfield was such a great Spider-Man, I could forgive a lot of the things that people were tearing apart, because if you can give me a few, but it, you know, that's a story for another day. Overall, Sony's track record is piss poor. They don't have a track record. They got the James Bond films, but they sell themselves, you know. But
they're going it's, on the name.
Yeah.
I mean, if it was any other type of movie, it wouldn't make. It wouldn't make no. it. But I mean, you know.
And unfortunately, He-Man has been dormant for a while for so long. Like, Transformers at least has stayed in the public eye, you know, consistently with toys and more bad cartoons, more bad toys.
Yeah, comic books.
Comic books and stuff like that. Whereas He-Man is like, Mattel kept, they can't make up their mind whether they're coming or going or whatever. But it's, you know. I hate harping on this, and every time something like this comes up, I just shake my head. I'm like, whatever, you know. It's like, you know, reading, you know, trash in a bathroom stall. It's just jokes. It's nothing. It's nothing but just idle chit chat. Yeah, it's not fun. It's nothing to take serious because it's just, if it does happen, the majority of us He-Man fans, we're going to be disappointed, you know.
Everybody will go see it, like you said before, opening weekend will make a lot of money, but you know, and other than that,
it won't have legs. It'd be one of those movies that if it does do well, it'll do well on name. And but another thing too, the Sword and Sorcery or Sword and Sandal movies have not done very well as of late because they get a lot of hacks. You look at Gods of Egypt, or the movie Immortals that had Superman, Henry Cavill in it, and you know, there's been like the two Hercules does that's got Kellan Lutz in one of them, and you know, The Rock in the other one. Yeah, it just shows you that these are not the kind of movies. And this is what we would get if you guys enjoyed the new Hercules movies and Immortals and all these other, you know, lame imposters of what's supposed to be, you know, cool dudes and swords and great, you know, moments where you get
over
energized.
Great stories.
Yeah, I mean, we're not going to get something on the level of the classic films of the 80s.
No way. It's no way. I don't know if it was the time in the of when those movies were made in the late 70s, early 80s, that, you know, stuff like that would done good.
Well, back then, studios were more apt to take chances, and they're just like, okay, you know, we got a property, we're going to give it a shot, and that's why something like Conan the Barbarian was a massive hit, or why...
The studios, who I don't know who's to blame, but I mean, they're not putting anything out that's worth going to see anymore. And not for nothing, you know, like Ghostbusters should have been an amazing movie. It should have made a ridiculous amount of money, but it was a lame story with it was just, everything about it was just bad. It was just, to me, it was just like, I'm not being sexist, but I didn't want to see four girls.
It speaks for itself. When they got like kitty humor and stuff like that, and they're making references to seeing it, getting slime in your vagina or butthole or whatever it is. That's not what a Ghostbuster movie is supposed to have, and that's the kind of, you know, audience that, you know, I feel like, is that what we're going to get with a He-Man movie? We're going to have, like, you know, Cringer making, like, oh, Adam, I made a poo-poo or something like that, you know? is that what we're going to get? And we're going to get really bad CGI with Beastman charging at He-Man? And
of course, the CGI is going to be terrible. It's going to be, yeah. I mean, if anything, I hope, I J.J. Abrams did a great job with the new Star Wars, and I hope the movie companies or whoever is out there takes a look at that and sees what, you know, what George Lucas did with the prequels and how horrible the CGI had killed those movies, and what J.J. Abrams did with the Force Awakens. You know, he went back to the puppets and makeup and whatever, and to me it was way better. I mean, that's something that that I could see that they do with He-Man and Masters, and it could be amazing. I mean, we don't need the over the top.
Well, Star Wars has got the name going for it a lot too, and that benefits. Oh, yeah. But also benefits the fact that, like, he acknowledges that the prequels, you know, are for the most part heavily dismissed and despised by the majority of not only Star Wars fans but general audience as well. But with He-Man, they've got to have great visuals. They've got to have, you know, you can't just have a guy that's just in shape. The He-Man character is a library of big, muscular guys. It's not just some guy that, you know, Kellan Lutz, he's too small.
Yeah.
He's too small to play He-Man.
It can be done without the CGI and without the computers and all that other stuff. We don't need that. I mean, you can go to your local gym and get a couple of buff dudes and, you know, give them some acting classes, and that's what I'd rather see. You know,
the Evil Warriors don't need to be having a whole lot of dialogue coming out of them. I mean, I'm fine with some of them saying a couple of words here and there, or even some of them nothing at all. They're just there as iron muscle to tear apart a village. Just
discussion with Beastman, just, you know, just stuff like that. You know, maybe like you have like a humanoid character like Triclops or Eva Lynn that has dialogue.
And Triclops could be another silent character, someone who just strictly is you see his visor move around, you know he's there.
Yeah. You don't need much from him.
Yeah, but I feel like whoever they cast as Eva Lynn, she's probably going to do an over the top job where you just kind of roll your eyes because she's trying to be evil and sexy and seductive, but a real, you know, brat of a character, and you're just kind of like, oh, right. This is like, they probably cast someone like Kate Beckinsale from the Underworld movies to play Evil Inn or some crap like that, you know. I just feel like their heart is not actually in, like, let's take this as serious as possible and cast a big muscular guy in makeup and as Beastman. He doesn't talk. We will add sound effects for his growl and possible, you know, things that he may grunt or something like that. And post-production, same thing with Clawful or Whiplash, you know, hire someone who's muscular and great shape to play like Triclops. And same, it goes for all the good guys too, all the heroic warriors, but do a few here and there. But we've had this discussion so many times on the show.
But you know,
people are probably thinking
we're
just broken records, but
I think that a lot of the movie companies today are going ahead of themselves, thinking way too far into the future. Like we're going to be doing prequels.
Well, they're trying to be like Marvel because Marvel's making so much money making quality movies.
Marvel has they have the backbone to do it, though. They have 100 years worth of comic books and storylines to do it.
Well, they also got someone who's taking it serious, and Kevin Feige, who's out to try and make one quality movie at a time, and they're building on top of each other, whereas Sony is just, you know, they're no different than Warner Brothers right now.
If you want to do a good He-Man movie, just do a good He-Man movie, and that's it. And then if it does great, you know, make a second one. But don't go in it already thinking about the fifth and sixth one when the first one flops. It sucks.
That's a good point, too, because everybody expecting Terminator Genesis to revamp the Terminator franchise. I'm like, are you guys out of your mind? There's no way this movie's going to qualify to have more sequels greenlit, and That's an excellent point. If Sony wants to make a good profit and establish, like, okay, we not only did we break even, we're banking a lot of money based on this and overseas sales and stuff like that. It's making sure that we are establishing a movie that, yeah, you know, a lot. It doesn't take much to sit there and say, okay, we can do a sequel. But when you got a library of villains in the He-Man mythology, I'm like, you don't have to set it up for a sequel. Have one story and leave it at that. And if you get a sequel,
you can leave a little like a little cliffhanger or something, you know.
Or do a post-credit scene where you hint at the idea that Hordak is coming in the sequel.
Right.
You like, know, and that's it.
In the 87 movie when, you know, Skeletor's head pops up. You know, like, yeah, you could do something like that. I mean, I don't know. But for me, if you're going to do a He-Man movie today, just worry about one single movie and do it good, do it right, and then take it from there. I mean, the merchandise and everything else that you can make, He-Man will sell. I mean, the merchandise alone with the figures and toys and everything that can come along with the movie is, they can make an astounding amount of money if they do it again like they did back in the day. But the way these companies are thinking, they're thinking way too ahead of themselves, and they're screwing themselves now because they're not giving us a decent, you know, movie or whatever. And I think that's what's hurting.
Go
ahead.
No, I was just going to say real quick, I mean, I, of course, want a movie to happen just like everybody else does, and I hope that if, whenever it comes, it is somewhat respectable. I mean, you're right, every movie that comes out from any franchise, fans always dissect it, you know, good or bad, or, you know, however it may be. I'm hoping we get something somewhat interesting, but it's just, like I said, when I hear a lot of the rumors, I just never get too excited, because you know how we've always got, every time the rumors come, we get a little excited and nothing happens. Right. So that's why I'll let this just blow over. Yeah, I'm just going to let this one blow over until any official stuff happens, because so people out there fearing that it might be garbage or that this guy possibly could destroy the movie, don't even worry about it, because it might not even happen. You know, that's how
it could all be smoke right now.
Yeah, because it's been 16 years of smoke anyways. We've been going through this so much. But
if you look
movie, Babel. I just figured we'd get that out, because I know T-Rex and Ozone, I know you guys want to get into that a little bit, so I figured we'd do that. But since we've had such passion, me starting off being angry about people talking about comic geeks, you guys, you know, venting on the movie, now let's just talk about a whole bunch of evil warriors. Let's talk about maybe not who would maybe win in the battle. Maybe we could even say it. I don't know. But possibly, who do you think is the best set of bad guys? Either Skeletor and his evil warriors, the Snake Men, or Hordak and the evil Horde. What do you guys think when it comes to the evil ones? Who maybe is the best? Who has some of the best characters? You could even pop some people against each other. What do you think?
Well, I'm going to go with the Horde. I mean, I was just, ever since I saw that commercial for them, you know, the Horde is coming. And I don't know, as a kid, man, they just threw me for a loop. And you know, being like a counterpart, they were all supposed to be like the Universal. Studio Monsters, yeah. I don't know, it's just always something cool to me. I just always fell in love with Hordak. And the Horde, and they were just so diabolical, and then the mini comics, and then learning about Skeletor being Hordak's disciple, it was just cool, you know, it was just really cool. And the Snake Men are pretty cool, I like them, but I don't think they hold as much water as the Horde does. Skeletor and his Evil Warriors were always cool. And then, of course, the standalone characters. I mean, you got Strong Arm and Shakoti. I mean, just to name a few. I mean, Hontera. There's so many cool, like Batros, one of my favorites, Icer. I mean, I don't know. I'm a Horde fan, but I think the standalone characters in Filmation were really cool too. I think a lot of people they always overlook them. So
what do you think? I mean, like, you know, you said the Snake Men kind of didn't do it for you. Now, Do you think that's possibly because, you know, back then, obviously, we had the toys, which were freaking cool. We had the mini comics that showed a lot of them. And, of course, they popped up in a lot of other types of, you know, Star comics and things. But
Star comics,
do you think it's because you didn't see them in the cartoon? Do you think that's why? Because I've heard a lot of people sometimes say, I never really got into the Snake Men, or, they didn't do it for me. Do you think it's because they weren't in the cartoon? Like, what if they were in the Filmation cartoon? I know we got them in MYP, but I hear a lot of the Filmation talk. What do you think if they were in the cartoon?
Well, you might be onto something with that. I mean, yeah, the kid, you know, that might sway some people because they weren't exposed as much as the other characters. But, I mean, as toys, I always played with them. I loved the Snake Men. They were cool. A little fashion. That could definitely be a deciding factor because they weren't put in your face as much as the Horde or the Evil Warriors.
Yeah, that's what I was figuring. Now, what about you, Tyler? What kind of faction is there a favorite you have or one that you're really drawn to?
I mean, all three of them. I mean, as a kid, I was all about all three of them. I mean, I had the core Hordesmen as a kid. I had the first three Snake Men as a kid. I had some of the Evil Warriors, too, because, you know, we all know that I came along a lot later and was only able to get so much and just had to go get everybody else secondhand. But there were certain members of each group that really drew me to them, and I didn't have a whole lot of exposure to certain characters. Like, it was a while before I saw Clawful in Filmation. I was going by his design in the Clash of Arms minicomic and just seeing him as like the ultimate badass of Skeletor's crew, him and Jitsu. You know, it was wasn't much longer. I did see the Dragon Invasion at a young age, but I saw Jitsu as another top tier villain that I just thought was just, you know, I mean, someone who could really give He-Man a good long fight that would probably go on a long time. And with the Horde, I mean, seeing them in the She-Ra cartoon, it just blew me away. I just their look, you know, as a kid, I didn't see any of the bumbling or anything. I just saw them as like very serious villains. I mean, even though Mantana's being dropped down the chute, you know, so many times, I saw him and Grizzlor and Leech, you know, as very competent villains, and Hordak is as diabolical, you know, as he could be, and the same thing with Skeletor. I mean, I held them all on the same level, you know, as a kid, and I thought, you know, the Snake Men were, of course, I didn't realize, you know, that Snake Face and Blast Attack were even figures until I got much older, until the early days of the internet, but Squeeze was somebody that intrigued me from the Powers of Grayskull mini comic that I just, who is this guy? Who is this snake guy with the long arm? Who is this guy? I have a great affection for all three factions, and I really do. And at one point, the Horde was my favorite for a while. And I mean, Modulok is my favorite Horde member. Squeeze is my favorite Snake Man. But the Evil Warriors, I've got so many favorites. And I think too that there's such a large variety in Skeletor's crew. You know, with the Snake Man, they're all snakes. You know, Hordak's crew, there is a large variety. You know, you got a two-headed robot. You've got a scientist who sometimes has one head and two heads, and he's very demonic looking. You've got a Grizzlor and Mantana and Leech and Dragstor and Dialamug and so on and so forth. But I got to say, the Evil Warriors to me is a group that I live and die by. Man, it's. And I've got Blade and Triclops, Clawful and Jitsu, Webstorm and Cobra Khan and Scareglow and Ninjor, and you know it's
interesting. It's interesting that you say Cobra Khan for Skeletor though.
Oh, but see, to me, the Cobra Khan is always an evil warrior. Like when I, you know, see the mini comic of, you know, King of the Snake Men, he is established as a you know, double agent. He's working for Skeletor and pretending to work for King Hiss. Even when the 2000X cartoon comes along and
he makes the same thing,
he's a double agent, but he turns out he's working for the Snake Men. But to me, no, he will always be an evil warrior to me. He will always be Webstor's partner. You know,
because he was an evil warrior before the Snake Men even came around, so that's how we knew.
Yeah, he's the evil master of snakes. Like, I see him as the guy who controls all snakes, like Beastman controls all creatures. Cobra Khan is snakes. Merman is Lord of the Ocean, control sharks and octopuses and giant leviathans and things like that. So it's, I just see him as always
always an evil warrior.
At least the Kraken.
Yeah, that's something that would put, you know, not the bird beak version that showed up in Search for the VHO. Dear God, man.
But, you know, I think that's why, I don't know, you know, sometimes my impressions sometimes feel like they come from the toys, because, I mean, I loved always playing with the evil warriors. Of course, you know, the first couple waves, maybe, of figures from good and bad, you know, they weren't loaded with action features. You know, they were kind of more just twist the waist action, you know, I mean, you know, like with Merman, with the Triclops. I'm sure he had the thing on his head that turned around, but, you know, just like there wasn't a lot of amazing features. And then later on, when you started getting all these other waves and factions and the Horde came, and they had all these cool features, you know, eyes popping out, one guy sucking. Grizzlord did nothing. He was just furry, which was cool. But, you know, yeah. Later you get drag swords, it's cool. But I love the Snake Men, and God, I wish they could have been in the Filmation cartoon, because I remember, I mean, everybody had to be so freaking amazed when you first got King Hiss, just to pop his shell. Yeah, when you pop that shell off and those arms off and there was a snake underneath, you felt like you had a whole brand new figure. It's like you felt like you had two figures for one.
He was like a transformer in Masters of the Universe, you know?
Exactly. He was just so damn cool. And
well, it was a creepy effect, too, to think that there's a snake underneath this man's skin. And it was a creepy look. I mean, to see the snakes wrapped around his torso, and both his hands are snakes, and he's just a big snake in general. It was like one of those, like a creepy and kind of scary looking figure to me as a kid, but that's what made him such a badass figure.
Yeah.
To me, he was always a crazy character for the reasons, like, yeah, he is this intense snake character, but then he kind of looks like this, like, superhero guy, like human.
Oh, when he's like, in his normal form? Like,
yeah,
hey.
Like...
It's like a good
guy. He kind of looks like he'd be like a good guy. Like, he's like the mask he wears, whatever. I mean,
yeah. I love seeing him and Skeletor teaming up, though. I absolutely love that dynamic of these two teaming up openly, working together, but the ultimate plan is to stab the other one in the back. I mean,
that's how it always is, no matter what. But yeah, like I said, as for all those Snake Men, it's just, like I said, with the toys from King Hiss, Rattlore, I love that feature of just, bam, his head really flying out and banging into people. It had a rattle sound. And then, of course, Snake Face, I used to always envision him turning everybody into stone. It was so cool to see all the snakes coming out of every part of his body. I like tongue lashers flicking out his tongue. And, of course, then Squeeze, you know, I know, Brian, you said you weren't a super fan of him, but I did like making him grab, like, a bunch of characters all at once.
Yeah, I just wish... them. I don't know. Like, even with the newer version, I just wish he had, like, a different set of hands, like with Psychop. I just wish he would have came with a regular set of arms. I mean, I don't know. I just, to me, his arms were just way too long for me. I don't know.
Well, it's how long. They're supposed to be. They're supposed to be.
He's an anaconda, man.
I don't know.
Well, my favorite one, which is the most controversial, which I don't care. It doesn't matter who people want to put him at, but Blast Attack. I mean, for me, even though Blast Attack, he was always a Snake Man for me. I mean, yes, I know he's also as an evil warrior, but he's a Snake Man. Yeah, he's a Snake Man because he was their robot. And I remember as a kid, I used to have a battle. What's weird, I had the battle of the three evil robots. I would put Faker against the Horde Trooper against Blast Attack. And I used to love having Blast Attack. I always set it up, you know, you're a kid. I would set Horde Trooper exactly on one side, and then I have Faker, and then I put Blast Attack in the middle. And when he popped open, I always tried to make it perfectly where Blast Attack's one side popped the Horde Trooper in the chest, and then he, like, busted open, you know, then fell on the ground.
His battle attack.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I don't know, out of all the factions, I don't know why I was drawn more to the Snake Men for the evil warriors. It was cool when we finally got to see him in MYP. That was awesome. Finally got to see him.
Yeah, MYP, I mean, really did him good.
Yeah, I love seeing just Snake Face. I don't know why I just went bonkers when I seen Snake Face finally. But, yeah, I think, like I said, they all have their awesome characters, but I lean towards the Snake Men, and I know that, Tyler, you said you lean more towards the actual evil warriors or Skeletor, and you said the Horde, Brian. So I guess we all ended up picking a different faction without even trying. But
and all three of them, too, are so good that, I mean, we all, and, like, I would never argue with either one of you guys, like, as to why Brian thinks the Horde's the best and why Joe thinks the Snake Man's the best, because they're all such...
Oh, they're awesome.
You know, they're factions are flawless. Yeah. I mean, they're, and really, I love to see more Snake Men. I like to see Fangor and... and that other Snake Man that Axel designed with the bow and arrow. I forgot what his. Oh man, it's gonna drive me nuts. Quick Flick. I think his name is Quick Flick. But just a couple of examples, because the Snake Man, I feel like we're definitely shortchanged a little bit in building up their army.
That's why I was so ecstatic when they finally decided to make the Kamikaze figure. It's just another figure for their faction.
That's cool.
You know, just another character for them to have. So
exactly.
I mean,
because I always had Cobra Khan just still be an evil warrior. I mean, I know he's a Snake Man, but he was never a Snake Man for me. But yeah, for a Camo Khan, that almost makes it feel different. Yeah, it makes sense.
Oh, that, without a doubt.
Yeah. So
that's what makes He-Man so good, is that all the villains are. That's why I think as a kid I was drawn to the villains a lot more, because the designs and the looks of the characters, and they just really come off as everybody was threatening. Like, I really can't look at all the villains. I mean, all three factions, and see a weak link anywhere. I mean, nobody. And someone may even go as quick to say, "What about Stinkor?" And that's when my fist would stop right in your face, because Stinkor is an awesome villain. A guy that how are you going to get close to him if you can't breathe? You know, there is not a single villain that's like . There isn't, people may have their least favorites or whatever, but I'm sorry, but there's every single one of these villains is somebody that, like, how could you not take them seriously?
Without a doubt. And again, I'm just gonna, you know, like I said before, and the standalone characters like Batros and Icer and Strong Arm.
Yeah, but Icer and Strong Arm, they're evil warriors though, man. They're part of that.
Without a doubt. But I mean, they're still, you know. You can't forget about them as well. Like, I mean, you know, they Filmation also had a lot of standalone villains by themselves to get. You know, I don't. I just think that they can be like considered their own little crew as well. You know, they are evil warriors without a doubt, but I don't know.
I'm just picturing Brian just kind of stops, like somebody has to go by and like kick him to get him going again or something like that. Like, he just kinda, like, take some smelling salt, put it under his nose there, Brian.
I don't know. I was like waiting for someone's reaction. I was like, okay.
No, it made sense. My battery was popping on and off for whatever reason on my phone through Skype. I don't know what was going on there, but no, I heard everything. But we have all, like I said, there's all our favorite factions of villains, and we didn't really put them against each other. So how about we go to a break, and we come back, we'll kind of see something to where there was a comic to where they kind of did pit the villains against each other somewhere.
The Royal Rumble of Manny Comics, man.
You're listening to a podcast from PopCultureNetwork.com.
All right, guys, we're back, and we're going to talk about this week's mini-comic. We decided to do Hordak, his mini-comic, which was called, Joe, The Ruthless Leader of the Horde, right?
Well, it was Hordak, The Ruthless Leader's Revenge.
Revenge, okay. Right.
I know this is a favorite of Tyler's, so I'll let Tyler start off, then we can all get right into it, but okay. Go ahead, Tyler.
Why do I start off on this? Classics. I mean, this ought to be put in every library in America. Just this mini comic alone, man. It really ought to be up there on the shelf with, you know, Tale of Two Cities and Breakfast at Tiffany's and all that stuff.
It's that good? Should it be endorsed by WWE, though, with its Royal Rumble effect, or what?
If they're going to go like a nostalgia run of Royal Rumble, not modern day Royal Rumble crap. I'd like, every time somebody goes to the library and check this out, Howard Fink comes out and says, "It is now time for the Royal Rumble." You know.
You don't want to hear Lillian Garcia?
Hell no.
Me neither.
Or Justin Roberts or any other schmuck that got in there to announce current day wrestling. But it's this mini comic, I was introduced to this at Christmas 1987 when I got Hordak. And I frequented this mini comic on so many occasions, because it introduced me to a lot of characters that, you know,
a lot of characters.
I mean, that Christmas, I ended up getting Whiplash and Spike Orr and Fista, who are in this mini comic. But, you know, I saw characters like Jitsu in the mini comic and the rest of the Horde, which I think later on that year I did get Grizzlor and Leech. And I think Mantana came around that same time, too. But it was just a mini comic that had a very simple story, but it was a good story of Hordak wanting to team up with Skeletor because they've already established themselves on, well, they're in the Fright Zone. Let me double check here because I'm ashamed.
Don't they start off in the Fright Zone?
Right. No, you're right.
It starts off in the Fright Zone, which is, you know, it's a sense, right. It's not on Eternia. It's but they don't say Etheria though, because you know She-Ra is coming along, but it's not you know part of the mythology.
It's not there
here.
Yet.
Oh my God, dear God, it is from Etheria, man. I just embarrassed myself on live recording here, man.
That's okay. Because
my face red.
That's all right. They did mention that they're from Etheria, and that gate Skeletor opened it up the portal. But that's okay.
But they send Grizzlor to get someone from Skeletor's ranks so they can put the plan into effect. You know, to take over Eternia, and you know, decides well we'll start out by teaming up with Skeletor. And what's cool about this is obviously Skeletor is already plotting the minute he finds out about the plan. Of turning on Hordak, but Hordak definitely is portrayed in the mini comic as like actually living up to teaming up with Skeletor by, you know, putting his own men here. I will send you Leech and Grizzlor. I will also send you Mantana, and I will let you run the first attack. I will stay behind, you know, and then not like, you know, actually I'm you know, you don't see any panels in this where he's, you know, making the plan with Skeletor. He's being pushy about it, but Skeletor's obviously plotting against him immediately, whereas Hordak, I think, probably would have delayed it for a while, if at all.
Almost like what you were saying earlier, though, how they're kind of always plotting, just like, you know, with King Hiss and Skeletor. These two, even though they're acting like they're in team-up, of course they're plotting against each other. That's
It's not going to be like a long-lasting friendship. You know, it's definitely played up to where it's like, okay, they're actually following through with this. It's not like the minute where they get there, Grizzlor's gonna jump Jitsu from behind, and you know Mantana's gonna blast, you know, Whiplash, you know, with a sucker blast or something like that. They're actually working together, and then they all, you know, they decide to team up over a campfire. It's really cool because Triclops is like, don't trust him, Skeletor. So they shake hands and decide we're gonna team up and we're gonna attack Castle Grayskull, you know, with the Horde, the Evil Warriors, and this nice splash page with Skeletor riding Spider, and
that's a cool looking picture too.
Oh, yeah. It's a beautiful picture with Jitsu and Grizzlor and Whiplash and Cobra Khan and Spike Orr. They're all attacking, and all the heroic warriors are there out front, and then as the battle ensues, Skeletor tells He-Man, you know, I'll turn on Hordak too, and that's when Hordak shows up with Stink Orr as his captive, and here's the whole plot to turn on him, and then all hell breaks loose. And
but of course, Hordak show up though? Hordak showed up.
He shows up in the Land Shark.
Yeah, he showed up on Skeletor's Land Shark. Like, how about that?
Yeah, but initially, I wouldn't have thought that Hordak's showing up to use the Land Shark against Skeletor because, you know, I mean, Skeletor immediately takes it personally that he's using the Land Shark. But if he hadn't said anything, I almost feel like he would have showed up, used the Land Shark to attack the heroic warriors too. But Skeletor, he definitely doesn't like to share his toys. Because he did not like the idea of Hordak driving the Land Shark. So, I remember thinking as a kid, Spider-Man must have been a vehicle of the Horde, because I was not aware of Spider-Man as a kid, because I thought, they're trading off. You can have the Land Shark, and I'll drive Spider-Man. So that was my logic in that, when as a kid, until I eventually saw Spider-Man. But to see the panels of the Evil Warriors charging at the Horde, and they're all threatening each other as they're colliding together, and it's not a real long battle. It's so cool to see Whiplash and Grizzlor charging. Jitsu and Leech are charging. Mantana and Cobra Khan are charging. And then next thing you know, the Evil Warriors turn on each other, and so does the Horde, because they're all pissed off at each other.
That's what was cool.
And then He-Man and the guy in the gang are like, what the hell is going on? Like,
they had to look like, what is going on? They're shocked to see, you know, the evil horde and then the evil warriors going at it. But that is what I like, because, you know, not only are they, you're seeing evil fighting evil, but it seems like they're actually shining, you know, meaning they don't seem bumbling or goofy like Mantenna. Okay, for one example, just to let you know, before Hordak showed up, He-Man's charging at Skeletor and Spidor on the Bastasaurus, which was so cool, again, because you love seeing certain vehicles pop up that, you know, you liked. But he's charging at him, and they said suddenly that his path is blocked by shocking presence, and it's Mantenna. And Mantenna's just standing there looking real vicious, and I was like, what is it about Mantenna just standing there that make you going to stop in your Bastasaurus? But, you know, it was weird. They made him look menacing. But then when the bad guys and the Horde are fighting, you see Mantenna just shooting like electricity out of his eyeballs, taking out, I think, Cobra Khan. And then you see Leech. And then Leech is like sucking on. Wait, I'm sorry.
Oh, man. Don't demean Jitsu like that, dude.
I mean, okay, I was going to say, but it didn't sound right. Okay, no, I'll say it. But you guys know what I mean. Leech was sucking on Jitsu. And then I'm sorry. But then Jitsu at least kicked him right in the jaw. I mean, in his mouth.
He says, not a chance, Beast Breath.
Yeah, Beast Breath. So he got a good, you know, kick in there. So you got to see Jitsu, who we don't see too often, start to shine and have at least a place in a mini comic too. So that's what I like seeing was people you don't
Chopper
see too often.
Minute.
And then other, like I said, other depictions. There's slight little things, but when you look at it, it makes it cooler. That's why I love seeing different artists' interpretations of characters. Did any of you guys really, which nobody probably did, I've never heard anybody say anything about this, did any of you guys pay attention to Manny Faces in this mini comic?
I remember as a kid, I was like, his face is pink, like kind of a pink.
Not only that, he has a visor over his eyes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
a visor. Yeah. That was pretty good.
Interesting look.
Yeah, if you guys look at that. Yeah, because it's usually drawn on as like, you know, a different look, or maybe that artist interpreted the toys a different way. But yeah, the one way it just looks like it's drawn on, but when he's at the side, you see it's a visor. I was like, that's pretty cool. So, you know, fans, if you haven't had this mini comic,
it kind of makes it look more intelligent.
Yeah, I like it. I kind of like that thing with the visor. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, you got to see them all fight and going back and forth, but then He-Man got tired of the thing. He just said, this is time to stop this nonsense.
The Tower of the Grayskull.
And then he just shatters. Enough. Yeah, he cracks the ground right between them and separates them both. And of course, Hordak flees back to Etheria. Skeletor goes back to Snake Mountain. But it was, like you said, it was a cool battle seeing the evil warriors finally going at it after all this big plot of who's going to do what to try to get the power of Castle Grayskull.
Because they're all, and not to mention when we say Royal Rumble, I mean, Cyclone's in this, Ram Man's in this, Manny Faces, Roboto, Fisto, Man at Arms, Teela, He-Man, Orca, they're all in this. Yeah, all this fight is going on at Castle Grayskull. I mean, like, Manny Faces is punching Spikor in the face.
Yeah, like good shot in the jaw. Yeah, because
you see the fist hitting Spikor and doesn't shy away from it. And Cyclone is drawn with his flesh toned face again.
I was gonna bring that up because I know you hate that flesh toned face. Yep, Cyclone's got his flesh toned face.
Yeah, and embrace the blue skin there. I don't get it, but it's still cool to see.
Though, there was two people that didn't really get a chance to do anything, or a couple. I didn't see, even though they showed Fisto there and Roboto.
Yeah, he didn't
there.
Do anything, yeah.
Yeah, Fisto, Roboto, and also you didn't see Man-at-Arms and Teela. Teela always does something in the mini-comics. She didn't do nothing. That was a shocker.
Yeah.
But, this is definitely one of those times where the bad guys were strictly the sole focus. It's like all the good guys took a back seat because this is not the showcase for them. And that's what makes it so good, is that there's not a whole lot of mini comics where the bad guys are pretty much running the whole story, because this they really were from beginning.
They definitely were. They definitely were, and it was cool that they were totally against each other. You know,
I mean, had we got this in Filmation as like a two part episode to see Hordak and Skeletor team up, and you see all these characters, you know, attacking Grayskull and end up fighting each other, you know, it probably wouldn't be as glorious looking as it is in the mini comic, but it would have been awesome to see, you know, Filmation Whiplash fighting, you know,
it
Filmation.
It definitely would have
been awesome.
Oh, yeah.
It would have been so cool.
Awesome.
And see He-Man, you know,
just, you know, break the ground with the power sword and separate the two of them. They end up, you know, running off, and I think it could have translated pretty well to Filmation, you know. So it's, but it's, it was, that's just, I hold this comic book as like one of the top two. I mean, that and Clash of Arms is some of the best stories, the best artwork. The artwork is fantastic, and it's, everybody is drawn to look like a serious threat. I mean, Grizzlord, Leech, and Mantana, and Hordak, and I mean, in Triclops, they got blonde hair in this, like, for some reason. Yeah, I always thought that was kind of cool as a kid, and and Evil-Lyn's in it, too, for a brief moment, too.
Who'd you say was in it?
Evil-Lyn.
Oh, yeah.
Spikor.
Yeah, I mean, Spikor, I mean, it's,
And you got to see the appearance of that axe that Skeletor has with that, you know, ball on top or something. He had
Yeah, like the axe from Diamond Ray disappearance.
Yeah.
Yes, he does.
And I like that they put that in there. I like all the, you know, like you said, there's a lot of Easter eggs and hidden details that are in it. But
and the way the villains are portrayed, too, like there's that shot of like Hordak and Skeletor talking over the campfire. And as he's, you know, Hordak's offering his troops, like Mantana's standing there with his arms crossed, just like a real badass. Like, there's not, he's not hunkering over, like, being subservient to Hordak. Like, he's standing there ready to, like, I'm ready to tear someone a new one. I mean, everybody's given so much dignity in this mini-com. I mean, to watch, you know, Whiplash is saying, think again, Chump, and Grizzle's like, I'll tear you apart, you slimy, slimy swamp thing. I think it's what he says. But it's just everybody's got so much aggression and tension, and it's just like, oh,
the way villains should be. They did them right. Yeah. They definitely did. Yeah. They did, made them, you know.
I mean,
the dialogue, everything was done right.
Oh, yeah. There was not an ounce of bad dialogue. I mean, this was a story that was given a lot of dignity, treated, which they may not have thought it was that big a deal, but when you look at the rest of the Horde mini comics, I mean, Leech and Mantanas, you'd probably think the Horde is a joke if you're going by that introduction. Yeah.
Right,
but I mean, the Grizzler mini comic's pretty solid, but the Hordax mini comic though is it sets the bar of quality of why the mini comics were such a great thing to get as kids. When you have something like this come with one of your action figures for free, I mean, you just think, why can't all of them be like this?
Yeah, but yeah, that was the coolest thing about the '80s, that they did, a lot of the toys did come with like little comics, mini comics, whatever you want to call them.
This one, it was definitely a fun one. Some good dialogue. All the characters looking angry. They were actually aggressive. They didn't seem like they came off as corny in any part or looking silly. I mean, yes, you can make somebody look silly, but yeah, you didn't get that out of them. But I just like seeing that, you know, characters like, especially Mantana, the one that seems like he always got such. He got so disrespected in the cartoon that it's cool seeing this is kind of like how I wished Mantana could be, you know, like almost like, you know, we, of course we never got the MYP to find out everything that was going to happen, but that looked like that could have been a really cool Mantana too. You know what I mean? So
and it would have been Grizzlor and Leech would have been, you know,
they would have done good.
Yeah. All four of them would have been, I would hope they wouldn't treat him like they did the Snake Man in the second part of the Snake Man, where they get their butt handed to him awfully quickly, but
yeah, but this was done great. This was a really great mini comic that it seems like it's very overlooked. You don't hear many people actually talk about this mini comic. So
I wonder why. Oh, you know, there's so many great mini comics, and I often wonder why does everyone just kind of go to like a choice couple and that's it. You know, I mean,
because they're the easiest.
That's what
they had. Yeah, it was what almost everybody had. They all love, you know, quoting, saying I love Alcala. Who doesn't? I freaking love him to death too. It's just kind of easy to say that, but to start going to some of these other ones, and maybe that's when a lot of people possibly weren't collecting the line no more, so they never, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, now with the Dark Horse book too, I mean, it's a lot easier to get it in. You know, all the mini comics in one book now. So
exactly, if you got that Dark Horse book, then definitely read that mini comic in there if you haven't. Hordak, the Ruthless Leader's Revenge, and if you don't have the Dark Horse book, go out and get it. If you don't want to pay that much, then get the mini comic off of eBay. You can get that really cheap.
There you go. You stole my line.
Yeah, but don't go to Amazon, you know, because Brian will tell you to go to Amazon. You can find it real cheap on there.
Get it for a penny, ship for free.
Brian forgets that what the money he pays for does not translate to the money that the rest of the world has to pay for. What he sees as dirt cheap is, you know, $45,000. You know,
remember $100. Hold on, everybody. Remember, $100 is a penny to Ozone in Ozone money. So that's what he's saying. He's like, oh, it's just a penny. It's like, do you realize you're holding a $100 bill there, Brian? It's like, oh, no, I'm sorry.
Yeah, the currency doesn't translate well to us. The ozone currency is way above us.
The exchange rate, yeah, between us and
yeah, that's it. Yeah, the exchange.
It's quite different.
That's funny.
Oh, shoot. So, well, that wraps that up. So, that was a good discussion. We got a lot of good, healthy release.
Yeah, no, it was good. There. It was a good week. Yeah. Good week. All right, Tyler, so why don't you give out your recommendations like usual?
I'm going to go with my recommendation for He-Man this week is not necessarily a He-Man episode, but hopefully an episode in a future episode of Fans of Power that I would love to discuss with you guys is Huntara from the She-Ra cartoon. Okay. That was one of the She-Ra VHS tapes I rented a lot because I genuinely loved that episode of Huntara. I just thought she was a great character, voiced by Erica, probably the best voice that Erica Schammer ever did for the entire series that she contributed to Filmation, He-Man and She-Ra was Huntara. The fact she had lightsaber sword. Yeah. I mean, just a very, well-developed, serious female character. Even as I got older, I felt like this is kind of like a Grace Jones kind of thing going. Of course, you find out that the character was definitely modeled after Grace Jones from Conan the Destroyer.
Yes.
And it made sense, and it looked great, and it's a shame that the character wasn't portrayed as a black woman, because she would have been, I mean, it would have been great to see a badass, you know, black character, a female one at that, you know, running around and definitely coming off as someone who you don't want to mess with, that, you know, that mm-hmm. the Horde has to, you know, go outside, you know, their territory to bring somebody in, an outside source to take on Shear. It's a great character and a great episode, and it's a shame that we never got the Salaxian War sequel that was obviously planned for the show. But yeah. I love that episode, and to keep selling out on Thundercats here, Tom Ace. I'm going to even though Joe's considered the sellout, but you know what? I'm going to take that title too and say I'm a shameless sellout here, man. I'm gonna go with my Thundercats recommendation this week with Thundercats Ho, the first what?
What'd you call me? You call me a ho? What'd you say?
Well, unless your name is Thundercats,
okay.
You know,
I thought
ho.
You said I'm gonna talk about. Hold up. This is what I thought you said.
Ho Amato.
I thought, yeah, there you go. I
didn't pull a Brian here and start calling you Ty. You know, Ty Rudd.
Tyra Baker. I thought you just said something. I'm going to talk about Thundercats Ho. I thought you was calling me Ho. That's, I didn't know.
I said Thundercats Ho. I mean, look at Joe's attempt at humor here. It's about as flat as baloney right now. Good grief, man. If I had a hook right now to pull him off stage, I would, or throw some tomatoes at the guy.
Oh, Jesus.
That ain't right.
Yeah, tomatoes at a motto.
Tomato.
There we go. Now look, that's a classic knee slapper right there. I got a Megan of them.
Hey, in school I heard all the time it was tomato, 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 tomato. So yeah, I did hear that.
But yes, the five part movie from that started off season two that introduces the brand new look of the Berserkers, introduces the three new Thundercats, and pretty much brings in all the heavy hitters from season one, from Rotaro to Captain Shiner, Hachiman, Grun the Destroyer, Jaga, all four of the mutants with Vulture Man being part of that group. Rotaro, I mean, it's a jam packed miniseries, and it's good. Getting to see all the Snowman of Hook Mountain, the Tuska Warriors are in it too. I mean, it's jam packed with a lot of the figures that had been introduced, and gives us some new ones too, and. It's solid to see all these characters crossing over with each other. So that is my recommendation for people who haven't seen the movie, which is a TV movie. It wasn't released theatrically or anything like that, but broke up in five parts. Excellent recommendation. I'd say if you haven't watched Thundercats, I'd say start out watching that, because that gives you everybody in five episodes.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm done now.
That's a good one.
You just dropped the mic. You're done. Okay, cool.
Yeah, I'm walking off like Kobe Bryant. Mamba out right now.
Okay. All right. Me. Well, just like always, just like a broken record, but I want to say, go to the all-encompassing Masters of the Universe Facebook page. Go to Masters and Mythos on Facebook, the Vintage Obscure Facebook page. Go to Descendants of Grayskull, Children of Eternia, Motu Nation. All great groups. All great people.
Alrighty. I'd like to say, go to popculturenetwork.com, like always. Go to Masters of the Galaxy Facebook page. Go to the All Incompetent Facebook page. All the other pages that Joe said. And until next time, rock on, guys.
Have a powerful day.
I am the world's first fully functioning homicidal artist.
I know that. I know that. Oh, and also, real quick, and go to HeManWorld.com. So, just wanted to bring that up, too. But
you just buried my movie quote for the week with your shameless plug there, man.
Sorry, I had to plug because I went blank. I know that. I know. Could you give me a hint?
Jack Nicholson.
See, we got a little riot on dirt to show you guys up here.
Jack Nicholson is your cue. Yeah, there you go.